Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. We got a slightly delayed broadcast today due to the lovely, lovely summer that we're having here in New York City. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, looking at the week ahead and noticing we're going to have some rocking and rolling stuff going on out there. What we do every week is we talk about the weather, what you can feel or expect or experience, how you can use it productively from above, and how it reflects down here on Earth, below, and also what it feels like, you know, the purpose of it, what the universe is trying to say to us as we look at it and we talk to it and we listen to it and we say, wow, you're really talking to me, heavens. So there was this wonderful quote that I ran across this week from a hermetic fragment, and I thought I would start with it because Mercury, Hermes, is stationing in the week ahead. So Mercury stationing, going from retrograde to direct, always brings us lots of exciting information. And remember, he passed the point of his station on July 15th. So we're back to July 15th. We're finishing up that story this week and wrapping up that energy. So the quote was, "Turn your attention within and glance into the infinity of time and space. The song of the stars, the speech of numbers, and the harmony of the spheres all have their origins there. Every sun is a thought of God, and every planet the thought's expression. Ascend and descend, O souls, the path of the seven planets, and in the seven skies of these seven planets shall ye recognize the divine thoughts. What do the stars sing? What do the numbers talk about? What do the spheres reveal? O ye lost or redeemed souls, these stars, numbers, and spheres are revealing your fate." So we have a big week of fate ahead of us for a few reasons. One, Mercury stationing to go direct. Two, the South Node is in Gemini, so it's Mercury's South Node. He's in charge of it. So the South Node, of course, always makes things leave or disappear or releases them and says, wow, let's let that baby go. So we've got the South Node rolling around in this lovely little mess that's above us. And we also have a big old hammer of Thor. We actually have a couple of hammers of Thor. Now, we had one last week with the Sun and Venus, which brought to light something, and we had something on one on September 20th. So this week we have two hammers of Thor. We actually have three, depending on how you want to count it. Mercury is, of course, going backwards, so he's going to form a hammer of Thor with Uranus and Pluto. Uranus and Pluto are square to each other, and they are both in conjunct, or sesquiquadrate, sorry, to Mercury, making Mercury be the hammer, the handle of the hammer. Now, we had Mercury do this a couple weeks ago when Barack Obama told the Republicans they had to eat their peas and pull their Band-Aids off. Now we're going to have it this week. As Mercury goes backwards, he's going to set off the hammer. Then he's going to station on Friday, which means he's going to turn around. And he's going to come back through again, going direct, Uranus and Pluto. So we're going to have a hammer of God Monday through Thursday. Monday he triggers, Monday Mercury triggers Pluto, and then on Thursday Mercury triggers Uranus. Then on Friday Mercury stations. Then on Saturday Mercury triggers Uranus going forward. And then next week on the 31st he triggers Pluto. So we have two hammers flying around in the sky as Mercury stops and stations at 20 degrees of Leo. And as Mercury forms that, he's busy causing all sorts of crazy things. The Sabian symbol for it is intoxicated domestic birds fly around in dizzy attempts. So we can anticipate our communications to be acting like an intoxicated, dizzy bird that is flying around in dizzying attempts. The Sabian image for the Uranus, which is two lovers strolling through a secluded walk, And for Pluto is a dark archway and 10 logs at the bottom. Those images are also running. Now, that's one finger of God, or one hammer of Thor, rather, and it happens twice, Monday through Thursday, Mercury stations, and then Saturday through Wednesday, he sets it off again. Now, the other thing that we're having is we have a secondary hammer forming in the heavens between Saturn and Mars squaring each other, and they are both sesquiquadrate to Chiron, the wound, the ouch wound that's in each of us. We all have a Chiron somewhere in our chart. We all have a deep soul wound somewhere in our chart, and it's getting triggered this week by Saturn and Mars in a square. So the two of them are squaring each other, and they are causing another hammer to form. Now, Saturn, of course, is at 14. He is where he was last fall in November, and he is moving forward to get to 17, to past his degree of station. The other thing is Mars is stimulating the eclipse degree from July 1st. So we have a lot of energy going on up there in the heavens. And then, of course, last but not least, we also have a finger of God forming in the heavens. And the finger of God is between the Sun and Venus, and the late degree of Leo, early degree of Virgo. And they're in conjunct to Pallas Athena, the smart, witty pattern seer, and Ceres, the creative, nurturing energy, the energy of, in each of us that gives nurture to things. So we find that there's an enormous amount of stuff up in the sky. This is going to be one of the more pivotal weeks on Earth, okay? As I was getting ready for the radio show, I was kind of looking at my Yahoo News, and Gaddafi, it looks like he's falling. His sons got caught. They're screaming in Tripoli. Germany's refusing to let money go. The stock market should be wild beyond words this week. It was bad last week. It's going to be bad, even worse this week. Because what this is saying, okay, what Mercury, what have we been told? Do we believe it or not? And Mercury is shifting direction. So he's retrograde right now. He stops to go direct. And Mercury rules the south node of losses as he is preparing this for this station this week. And he also is the hammer handle of the Uranus-Pluto square. Now, the last time Pluto was in Capricorn was 250 years ago, and that was the end of the British Empire. We revolted against them. There was the French Revolution. There was a whole bunch of stuff that went on then. The last time Uranus was in Aries was 1927 to 1934. So we have the combination of the two of them arguing with each other right now. Uranus squaring Pluto and saying, we need to make some changes here, big guy. We need to make some changes in the power structures that exist. And if we're not happy with it, then we're going to have to change it up. And Mercury is news, right? So the news is going to be, wow, problems with the power structures that need to change. And we can all look forward to finding this somewhere in our chart. So wherever you have 20 degrees, 19 degrees of Leo in your chart, that is the area of your life that you're going to have, you're going to experience changes in. The Pluto place in your chart is 5 Capricorn. Whatever that house is going to experience transformation and change. And then wherever is 4 degrees, 3 degrees of Aries is going to experience transformation and change. So think about where those are in your chart. Those Uranus and Pluto are the business ends of the hammer. So you're going to find that there's a lot of transformation that's going on in the Aries and the Capricorn part of your chart related back to the Leo. So this is big. It's very, very big. Then, in addition to this, not that there's not a lot already going on, the United States is having its 8th Saturn return this week, right as that hammer of Thor forms. So for the next 28 years, we're going to have a hammer of Thor in our Saturn return. Bang, bang. You know, the song that comes to mind is Bang, Bang, Maxwell's Silver Hammer. course, that was not a good song. It came down upon his head, made sure that he was dead. I'd need another song about him. Maybe if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this world. I like that. We'll go with the new Christy Minstrels. But so the United States is having its eighth Saturn return in the midst of this week on the 26th of August. So we're going to have a couple of hammers in our chart. And basically meaning it's a real 28 years of transformation and change for our country. We also are having a lovely Jupiter getting ready to stop. Jupiter is slowing down, going real slow. Now, he actually doesn't stop this week, but he is pretty well dead in the water, moving very, very slowly this week. He actually stations next week, but for all intents and purposes, the old guy isn't moving. And, you know, the 5 days before, which is the 25th, because he stations on the 30th, the 25th to the 30th is very much about focusing on the new direction he's going to take. He's going to station and go retrograde, and he's going to go all the way back to one. So he's stopping. So we've got a lot going on. We got Mercury stopping. We got a couple hammers with Mercury, with Uranus and Pluto backwards. Then we have it going forwards. Then we have the Mars and the Saturn forming a hammer of God with the Chiron, the wound that we have. And the invisibility, the sense of craziness and fear. Venus changed signs, went into Virgo today, this evening actually. And tomorrow, actually Tuesday, Sun goes into Virgo. So when the Sun goes into Virgo, we're officially in the fall. Now, Sun in Virgo also is not particularly abundant time. So the Saturn return for the United States last time was Sun, Pluto, and Libra in the second house, all about making money, the Saturn return from 1981. This one is Sun, Venus, and Virgo, all about the workers and service and transforming the Earth, which is actually a nice Saturn return, kind of scattered all over the place. And if you're on the mailing list, I will be sending out a write-up on it. If you're not on the mailing list, I'll be posting it on the website and calling your attention to it. And then we also have this week Mars. Remember Mars, that little guy? Remember a couple weeks ago he went into Uranus and Pluto, which started this whole stock market craziness? Well, he's finishing his story this week on Thursday, and he's squaring Saturn, okay, where he leaves the T-square that's forming in the sky. So this whole teeter-totter thing that's going on out there is really pretty major. This is probably going to be really hard economic news. And, you know, the whole point of it is we do have to adjust. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed and buckle your seatbelts and say, okay, you know, we're transforming. Evolution is hard. We're giving birth to ourselves. The heavens are reflecting the craziness on Earth, and they're saying to us, look inside, listen to your truth. That's where the salvation lies. Listen to your truth. There is a truth in there. And if you stand in the truth, it's going to be okay, because that's really what this is about. What is really true? Pluto in Capricorn wants us to get right down to those bare essentials of what is our truth. How do we find it? How do we own it? How do we say, this is my truth? And when we can stand in our little corner and say, you know what, this is my truth, and I believe this, and I understand it. It echoes on a core level for me, and I'm going to trust my instincts on this. That's the place to stand. Recognizing that there is a lot of craziness running around, and also making sure with all the craziness that you don't tie into the fear. Because when there's this much craziness, there also is a lot of fear kind of running with it. And your job is to say, you know what, I don't really think I want to tie into the fear. I think I want to maybe come up with another way of looking at the world right now and not buy that fear energy. So all sounds well and good. A lot harder to live than, you know, I mean, I can talk nice thing for half an hour on a Sunday night, but damn, your 401k is falling apart. Well, the idea is with, you know, you study astrology, there are people who profited when things fall apart. And as a student of the heavens, you know where the expansion is going to be: Taurus, gold, jewelry, Capricorn, earth-based things that need to, that are solid, reliable, and dependable, and things that are actually agents of change that help the world move towards a more equal, balanced kind of place. That's what's happening now. Pluto and Capricorn, we're destroying the governments, we're destroying the banks, we're destroying the big corporations. Look at what happened to the music industry. Look at what happened to the publishing industry. There are no phone booths anymore. There are no, very few people. Everybody's got cell phones, very few landlines. You know, I mean, it's the economic changes that happened when Pluto went through Sagittarius to the religious organizations and to the belief systems of people. Now we're going through Capricorn. Capricorn is the mountains, the earth, the things that we think of as solid, reliable, and dependable, they are all undergoing transformations. And a couple years ago, when the nodes went through Capricorn, we all had to grow up. Our moon Cancer south node went through. We lost a lot of our childhood leaders. We became the adults in the room. We are the adults now. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting when we're working with astrology is to think about it from the point of view of, no, you can't do a damn thing about the collective. You know, you really can. I mean, you can go cast your vote on election day, and you can campaign, and you can donate some money. But really, the way that we make effective change is we change it in our own environment, in our own home, in our own life. And that's what we need to do here. We need to say, you know what? This is where I can make a stand in my own environment, in my own life, in how I live my life. I can keep my porch stoop clean. I can keep my windows shiny. I can be impeccable with my word. I can do the things that actually support my own soul's development. I can't fix the craziness, but I can do my part internally. And as an internal person, I'm then reflecting externally to the world that this is a model of how to be. So standing in the fear, not a good idea. Standing in the place of your own truth, doing what you love to do, giving yourself permission to be connected, to be tied in, to really feel the universe and the changes, and to know that one of the reasons you're on Earth right now is you incarnated to help us all with these changes. You're here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. The, you know, your partner, your lover, your friends, all here for a reason. And part of the reason is to say, hey, you know, we have all these hands that need to go to work to help change things. Let's figure out how we can do that. So no fear, even though it's going to be a fear-filled week. Stand in your truth. All right, so the sun goes, it's last degrees of Leo, and when he does that, he has a hard aspect to Saturn and Neptune, and he wakes them up, and he says to them, wow, my illusions have been shattered. I see things I didn't see before. The semi-square to Saturn says, wow, I didn't realize that was the consequence of that behavior. Sun joining to the nodes of fate, very strong energy, giving us a choice point. Then the sun goes into Virgo on the 23rd, and the Virgo energy is very much about the connecting to the world and how we connect. Then the sun goes further along in the week, and he goes all the way up to 5 Virgo. So in that capacity, he's going to have an inconjunct to Uranus, and he's going to have a trine to Pluto. So he's going to be... Virgo wants to improve, seeks perfection, looks for ways to improve the process. 26th, 27th, and 28th, he's arguing with Chiron, he's arguing with Uranus, needing to adjust, and he's trining Pluto, saying, okay, this is my direction I'm heading. Then Mercury, of course, we already talked about. Mercury's rocking this week with Pluto. He also talks to the nodes of fate as he has these conversations with Pluto and Uranus. So these are fated events that are happening this week, too. F-A-T-E, big fate changes. Always love the fate, except when we don't. Venus, of course, is in early Virgo. She went into Virgo today around 6 o'clock. And so she's going to be echoing the sun's story on the 24th, 25th. So she's going to talk to Chiron and Uranus and Pluto. And in the place of her not being so happy because she is in Virgo, she is really, you know, a little critical, a little sensitive to criticism. Be kind, you know. People really don't need to hear bad news, hard news, difficult news. What they really need is people to be nice to them this week. So my mother used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. It's not the week to say things. It's the week to recognize that everybody's going to be walking around tighter than a banjo string tuned to a high E, where people kind of are like, it's a very tense week. Then we also have Mars, lovely Mars, is in Cancer. And now he this week is going to be answering to Gemini the beginning of the week, Monday and Tuesday, which makes him very back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then on Wednesday and Thursday, he is in Cancer, highly sensitive, heading through that damn T-square again, right? And he's Mars in Cancer, answering to Moon in Cancer, forming the T-square. So the Moon is going to set up the T-square at the same time that Mars squares Saturn. So Wednesday, Thursday, highly big, big week. Of course, that's also when Mercury stops. He stopped dead in the sky on the 25th, 26th, 27th. And so he's big. Mars, of course, has... in Cancer, has action. He's going to be sesquiquadrating Neptune, which is part of the forming T-square, or hammer of Thor in the sky between Neptune, Mars, and Saturn. And he's also going to be squaring Saturn. Saturn is going to be sesquiquadrating Neptune. So again, the hammer of Thor between, another hammer, this is the second one, but these are the big guys, Mars, Saturn, Neptune. Not happy planets to have a hammer of Thor with. They're mean guys, and they're all fighting. Everybody's fighting. It's a fighting week. And then we have a bunch of really good ideas. Chiron is really full of good ideas. He's very helpful. He's in Pisces. He's a helpful guy. He's got three of Pisces. He's going, ah, you think this was bad. You should have seen it when, you know, or whatever he's going to be saying. No minimizing other people's pain. This is a hard week on Earth that we're going to be working with here. And then we have Pallas Athena entering Capricorn, and she says she's been in Aquarius, and she's going backwards. So she's going back into Capricorn, which means she's going to be going from the heights, where she's been flying around at 20,000 feet, back down to ground. So she's going to land full of practical advice, so listen to smart suggestions. She also is part of a finger of God as she talks to Venus, and she talks to the sun, and she sextiles Uranus, which is part of the hammer of Thor. The planets are really having a little confab above our heads. So they are really talking this week. So pay attention, really listen. You're not going to necessarily know what to do with half the information you get, but pay attention because it's really a big, big week. One of the biggest weeks in your life, for lack of a better word. And certainly if Libya falls in Gaddafi's life. But it's huge. It's just really simply huge. And our job is to say these are world events that we are witness to. We are sitting, you know, in the football stadium watching world events take place, unlike any we've ever seen before. And once in a lifetime, once in a lifetime. So enjoy it. And kind of go, okay, I'll figure out what to do with it after I'm done with watching it, because I've never seen anything like this before. Then we also have Juno is working to try and make peace. She's in Libra. She's trying to get everybody to get along. Not really successfully, but she's trying. And we also have Admetos, which is the planet of endings. And we have Sedna, which is the planet of the ocean. And both of them are stationing. Now, Sedna is stationing on 23 Taurus. So she's going to take us back to the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in May of 2000. and she's going to ask us to look at that and see how we want to change what we started back then. And Admetos is stationing on Algol, the fixed star of losing our heads. So we can anticipate some people losing their heads this week. And now, literally, it can be physical. People can be decapitated. Hopefully not anybody you know. But people can lose their head emotionally, where they just really lose it. And if we understand that that's part of the energy, we know that we don't necessarily have to go there, want to go there, need to go there. But we are all feeling very, very, very vulnerable, volatile, emotional, and a little crazy, you know. You know, there aren't many weeks that are like this. Yeah, I don't even know what to say other than to say, you never had it before. You're never going to have it again. Once in a lifetime, have fun. White knuckle it, you know. Drink lots of vichyssoise or gazpacho. You know, hydrate well. Bring your sunglasses. SPF 50, because it's really unlike anything I've ever seen. I've been an astrologer for 17 years. I've never seen a configuration like this one. So I don't even really know quite what to say other than it will feel, depending on where these planets land in your chart, it will feel absolutely amazing, or it will feel terrifying, or it'll be kind of a combination of both. You know, wrapped in the middle of this, there is some good stuff. You know, we don't want to just make it be about the bad stuff, because there always is good stuff too. And the good stuff is that we have a number of trines flying in the heavens too. And the trines are between the air planets, you know, learning how to talk, learning how to communicate. We have between the nodes of fate and between the planets that are about understanding that what is important to us. We have a nice trine in Earth. It's a little wide, but I'm going to give it to myself because I need a trine. A grand trine in Earth, Pluto and Jupiter and Venus. Venus is zero Virgo. You know, she's in there. She's trining Pluto. She's a little wide for Jupiter, but, you know, give her news. And when the moon's in Taurus, you know, we can give her that. Or when the moon gets to Virgo, we can give her that. So we do have some positive energy. We do have some sextiles, which are working aspects. But basically your job this week is to just kind of hunker down and kind of say, okay, got it. You know, nothing I can really do about that except keep my own stoop clean and make sure I have fresh vegetables in the refrigerator to make vichyssoise and to make gazpacho with. I'm having a gazpacho thing these days. And I just want to say Fairways has really good gazpacho if you don't want to make it. All right, so anyway, August 22nd, 23rd, Moon is in Gemini, 5:34, closing aspect on Wednesday, is a trine to Neptune. So Monday, Tuesday kind of feels like, ooh, a little happy, a little more upbeat, a little positive. Moon is in Cancer on Wednesday, Thursday, and until noon on Friday. Closing aspect is a trine conjunction, to Mars. So that's taking action Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, hopefully productive action. Then on Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday morning, the moon is in Leo with a closing aspect of an opposition to Neptune. We also have a new moon next Sunday in Virgo at 5 degrees of Virgo. And we have just lots and lots of stuff, you know. Lots of stuff. So your job is to stay focused, stay present, support the people that you know and love that need support. Duck if you need to duck. and just know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime, unlike anything this astrologer of 17 years has ever seen. So I'm looking forward to it, just because this kind of stuff I find endlessly fascinating. So at any rate, I hope that wasn't too scary. On a good note, go see The Help. Excellent movie. Had a great time. Got a lovely song by Mary Blige. I don't even know if I'm saying her right. And she basically talks about being the living proof. And it's a long, long journey, then an uphill climb, tough fight, lonely nights, but she's carrying on. So the whole idea of this is to push through it, to know you're giving birth to yourself, that the world is giving birth to itself, and that's what's happening. And with that in mind, you know, there's a dawn, there's a new day, everything finishes, transits are temporary. So remember, this is a temporary, crazy week. So have a good week. This is Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. We're at 72 degrees, and I'm going to go get myself a glass of iced tea and work on my column and try and figure out how to say that this is what the week's about. It's craziness, but you're going to have fun because you're forewarned, and you're going to tell people ends next week on the 31st. And no, it's not the end of the earth. It's the end of something really significant, though. So take care, be well, hug each other, and be kind. Okay? Take care. Bye.